All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Doug Thornton. This is American Vindicta. And I would like to give to you a late happy birthday to the country. The 4th of July, 1776, the Declaration of Our Independence. And I would like to thank every man and woman who has ever fought for this country, and that we may remember those who have sacrificed it all so that we can be here now. My family has fought in every major conflict that our country has been in. And it deeply hurts me when I hear veterans from World War II or from Vietnam talk about the way the country has gone now. And as the most recent veterans of the Iraq-Afghan wars, the Gulf War, we have to step back and we have to think, what part did we play in these wars? And was this war that we all recently came out of, was it really fought for our independence? Was it really fought for our freedom? Or were we lied and manipulated to? Were we used as useful tools of the warfare that our politicians, that the global elitist and the big bankers use to wage war for power and control over those who will not bend the knee to the supposed kings of this world? Many of us who have come out of the most recent wars, I believe if you asked us honestly, would tell you that what we fought for is no longer relevant. The war that we fought was against an extremist ideology. Originally, communism, socialism from World War I, World War II, the need to expand countries and gain land, and then the extermination of people. And then you bring that forward and it's more communism from North Korea and China. Then you have the Vietnam War and it's so on and so forth. But when you really start to peel that onion back and you discover all the different layers of the intelligence apparatus that drove those wars and the things that came out of those wars, like the heroin trade from the CIA, and that was Vietnam, it was also partial of Afghanistan. What did we fight for? What did we die for? What did we bleed for? What did we make amputees for? We have some men right now who are so mentally distraught. The only way to get out of their nightmares is through alcohol or opiates. Many of them now live by themselves. Many of them are homeless veterans, completely ignored. But as a society, where does it affect us? Well, I would tell you that it affects us all. Members of the military are members of the society. It's not an elite caste of people. It's your everyday average volunteers who said that I am willing to put my life on the line for a $900 check, a few ribbons, and the honor of serving our country. Some men had a much worse fight. And for some of us, a much worse fight is coming. A local Fox affiliate channel out of Tampa Bay, Fox 13, had an interview with a World War II veteran Marine Corps veteran. His name is Carl Deckel. And what this man said about the state of our country is the true state of the Union. Not sugarcoated by politicians. It's not being promoted by billionaire businesses that want to make as much money as possible off of the American flags that are made in China that you sometimes buy and put all over the place. And I'm not being sarcastic or demeaning when I say that, but that's just true. What this Marine tells us is the honesty that you won't get from your politicians. And if so, they're not heard. They're not listened to. The halls of Congress refused, absolutely refused, to listen to we the people. And instead of listening to us, they gave us Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And instead of listening to us, they gave us the new Green Deal and Build Back Better. Instead of doing what was right, they spiked the price of petroleum products, and now people can barely afford to go on vacation for this summer. These people know what they're doing. They've planned this for a while. But it was men like Carl Deckel who had to fight these wars on other shores so that that evil wouldn't come here. And what breaks my heart when listening to this is that it feels like I failed. Because the evil is here. Through Operation Paperclip, we brought the Nazis here for the betterment of mankind. Sure, we got to the moon. Sure, we had some medical advances. But at the cost of how much blood? Enough of my monologue. I want you to listen to this Marine.
I don't know. I've lived a good life. I've had a lot of happiness. Happiness. Smiling. Telling everybody that everything was beautiful every day. If I went into my church and didn't say everything was beautiful, they'd think I was sick. And I'm not that way. I mean, I sincerely believe in this old world that everything is beautiful. I mean, if I wake up in the morning and see these plants out here and all those flowers that are in there, and the green grass on the ground, that's beautiful. And people don't realize what they have. They bitch about it. And then nowadays, I am so upset that the things we did and the things we fought for and the boys that died for it, it's all gone down the drain. Our country's gone to hell in a handbasket. We haven't got the country we had when I was raised. Not at all. Nobody will have the fun I had. Nobody will have the opportunity I had. It's just not the same. And that's not what our boys, that's not what they died for. This is not it. I'm so sorry. I'll be all right. Just takes me time to get over it. Why me sitting here like this? See, all this going on. Emily, it's just not the same. That isn't what we fought for. Oh well. I should be worried about it, I guess. I'm 100 years old, they say. I worry about it.
That will be my fault.
Well, okay, you just remember everything's beautiful, and live every day to the fullest. Just enjoy everything you possibly can.
If you want to hear true conviction for the state of peril that our country is in, this old Marine tells it the right way. In church, we're taught that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, powers of the air. And that's true. But do not think that the shedding of blood has not happened and will not happen again. If you want to keep this country fair and true to the standard of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, if you want to uphold what those brave men did, the framers of the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, by unanimously drafting and accepting 12 out of 13 colonies, accepting the Declaration of Independence from Great Britain, then you better start getting back into your history books and preparing for the future to repeat itself. We are inundated with ghosts of the past. The savagery of the past is coming back to haunt us now in our future. Maybe it's because we didn't do enough to detain it. Maybe because at one point in time we became lax. Lackadaisical, that is. Maybe at one point in time we became so complacent within our laws, within our safe boundaries, so complacent that we had such a strong military that no one would dare take away the freedom of our country, not from an outside foreign force. The Taliban couldn't do it. Nazi Germany couldn't do it. China and North Korea couldn't. Vietnam couldn't. The autocrats, the dictators, the authoritarians from around the world could not break the walls of America. But we never had walls of brick and mortar. We never had iron beams that were repelling the enemy. We had a wall made of men and guns. That is the only wall that has ever worked at resisting tyranny, at thwarting the enemy. You can hide in your redoubts and your castles, but eventually the siege will come and it will win. The only way that you fight it is you get out onto the field of battle, fix bayonets, and you charge. But where are we at in this country now? Has so many people been lulled to sleep by the fireworks display from yesterday over the past years that you forgot that you traded one tyrant that was 3,000 miles away for 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away? It's probably one of the greatest quotes in any historically related movie. That's The Patriot that Mel Gibson was in. Because that's exactly what we did. We knew it then. We knew it back in 1775 that when we created this Congress, whenever we started to meet, whenever we started to resist, when we started to gather troops and funding and sending out ambassadors to various countries like France, we knew what we were getting into. And we knew then that if we don't stand together, then we'll all hang separately. I'll tell you now, this government is more than happy to hang you separately. Neck by neck, they will come after everyone who resists them. Has this not been proven to you yet? through the January 6th committee? Has this not been proven to you yet with 4 years of fake Russia investigations? For almost 15 years, I worked for the government in various fashions, always in law enforcement or the military. And I always thought I was doing my duty to the country, to the people, to the flag. How easy is it for a young man wanting to be a hero, a young man wanting to give back, wanting to have purpose, to be easily caressed into the corruption? Pin this medal on you, son. You did good. Go fight for your country. Go die for your honor and your country, while the fat men in suits at Congress get fatter and richer, sending young men to die. 4th of July is something that we should be celebrating. We should be happy we're still free. And since the day of that freedom, 1776, July 4th, we have become more free. More people within this country have become freer. However, the chains have been put back on us again. The fetters, as they used to be called, have been put back on us again. And we are chained to our laws, to our policy. We're chained to our societal changes, who think that they can change the Declaration of Independence, who think that they can change the Constitution at a whim. Who the hell voted these people into office? And why are they still there? Cory Booker. Every chance this man gets, he tries to grandstand that he is Spartacus, or that he is some great hero, wanting to rid the United States of our gun problem. Senate Democrats introduced a bill that completely infringes on Americans' Second Amendment rights and limits gun purchases to one purchase every 5 years. That's all on Law Enforcement Today, wrote by Mitch McKinley. Democratic Senators Cory Booker, Bob Menendez of New Jersey, Booker's also of New Jersey, Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, recently introduced a gun control bill that would amend Chapter 44 of Title 18 U.S. Code. It is a big example of the firearms overreach as seen in any recent memory. Here's a quote. In our nation, gun violence has become eerily routine, and we've done little to stop the horrific mass shootings that devastate the lives of victims and their loved ones, says Senator Booker. I have a question for you, Senator Booker. Where the hell were you when the Obama administration was freely sending guns across the border to the cartels, and then those same guns come back across the border and were used to kill our own Border Patrol agents, and now being used to terrorize the populace of the United States? Where were you for that one? Where was your outcry for that one? I had a friend of mine on many, many shows ago. He was a Detroit cop for 10 years. And he'll tell you, as a black man, that he can go into any hood and find a gun in an hour. I'll tell you one better. On the East Coast, in New Jersey, in Pennsylvania, especially Philadelphia, and in New York, I had buddies of mine that are special agents laughing and joking while we're sitting there eating pizza and drinking coffee, that they could take you to certain places within those three major cities, Trenton, Camden, Philadelphia, New York, and buy a RPG, buy a man pad, which is a man portable surface to air missile. Does anybody care about that anymore? And trust me, the politicians know about this. They get the intel reports. They get the intel reports of what's happening on the border. They're worried about an active shooter here or there, but no one will talk about the fact that the cartel uses mercenary hit teams in our United States to assassinate people. They won't talk about that. They won't talk about the people of Border Patrol and Customs and Border Patrol who were bought off by the cartel. They won't talk to you about people within the FBI in El Paso, the head SAC, the head special agent in charge in the 90s, who was bought off by the cartel. No one will tell you the story about how the FBI and a Border Patrol or Customs and Border Patrol port director over the Bridge of the Americas colluded together to thwart a key witness coming from Mexico to across the border, being escorted by the DEA and the United States Marshals Service, and how the FBI worked with the cartels to get that man killed. It's in a book somewhere. But what's history, right? History is just a collage of books now that occasionally get burned from one generation to another. Look at all this recent MKUltra stuff that's been happening, right? Did you ever think, and I'm going to segue a second, but I'm going to pull this back together to the Second Amendment. You hear politicians that will say the Second Amendment was not meant for weapons of war. It wasn't meant for semi-automatic weapons that can fire so many bullets a second. Or fully auto weapons. We were only supposed to have muskets to hunt the whitetail and to defend ourselves from a foreign invader. One shot every 60 seconds. Do you think, in the same line, which is one of the reasons why, if I ever got called to Congress, God help them that day, because I would unload upon those people. Because history is a weapon if you know how to wield it correctly. History is a battle axe that cannot be contested with if used properly. Because what our founding fathers have also approved of COINTELPRO, the FBI's counterintelligence operation that had over 100,000 people on a arrest immediately list back in the 70s, just because they voted a certain way? Or is it okay, in the eyes of our forefathers, to capture our enemies and to torture them relentlessly, like at Guantanamo Bay? Is it okay, in our founders' eyes, to use operations like Mockingbird, which would caress the nation one lie at a time into believing the narrative that the government was spinning? How about MKUltra and the use of the CIA premeditatively taking people against their will and giving them hallucinogenic drugs, alcohol, or other types of amphetamines, methamphetamines, barbiturates, just to see what it does to them? Many people died. Many people were mentally handicapped after that. Oh, by the way, they did it against another country, Canada, as well. What about the Monarch Project, which is one of the very few things that's talked about, very few things that anyone knows a lot about, but where they take children and turn them into the next year's super soldiers through tactics like MKUltra, MKUltra, by the way, being things that we learned from the Nazi scientists that came over from Operation Paperclip. Within that, you also have the DOD, who was involved in this, the Department of Defense. And they were using things called psychochemicals, brought to you once again by one of Adolf Hitler's second, third, and fourth leading chemists of the Nazi Reich. You think our founding fathers would approve of that one, Mr. and Mrs. Congressman and Senator? But they know about it. They approve it. They're the ones who issue how much funding will go to those operations. Even whenever something comes out, and these politicians will say, we had no idea how horrible, everything must stop. They knew it. They knew it very well. And the other reason why they came out about it is because other people were speaking about it and they had to get ahead of the storm. Well, let me tell you something. There is still a storm coming. There will be another fight for the freedom of this country. We can't let it get subverted and infiltrated like what happened on January 6th. Don't fall for the lies of Q. This is a time for discernment. Also a time for great praying. One should be considering what the options of a country, what the options of a country like ours is, with what's going to be happening in the future if we continue to go this dystopian route. You want to look like Rome in the morning? Continue with your barbiturates. Continue drinking to the point that you don't care about anything anymore. Continue to procrastinate on your preparations. Continue to let your children be easily swayed by the extremist. Continue to take God out of everything. Continue not to read the Bible. And we will go down the route that you cannot repair this country. It won't come out of the ashes. It won't rise out of some glorious thought process like the phoenix coming back. That's not what will happen. It's never happened in history. It won't happen now. They will build it back better. You want to see a kingdom that Nimrod would have been proud of? Continue to go down the path you are, America. Ignore the men and women who fought and died for this country. The problem with most of these senators and congressmen and presidents that we have is that 90% of them never shed a drop of blood for this country. They don't know what they're fighting for, but yet they want to beat their chest and say that they serve their country. How cute. How funny. You want to see what the horrors of war look like? Research Iwo Jima. The Battle of the Bulge. Hamburger Hill. Belleau Woods. It gets worse from there. Ask yourself this, America. If we were to get back into another war, a legitimate war, we're not talking about a hypothetical civil war against our global elitists and against the would-be kings and queens of this country that are called politicians. Forget that for right now. I'm talking about a no-joke war against Russia, against China, where they decide to actually invade, where they decide, now's the time. America's as weak as it's ever been. The economy is about to collapse. They have no food stocks for the next 2 or 3 years because, hey, somebody keeps destroying all the food processing plants. Nobody's a farmer anymore. Nobody has a garden in their backyard anymore, not enough to save themselves, let alone just the block that they live on. Now's the time, gents. Just imagine what happens when the power goes down in the winter. Just imagine what happens when the firestorm hits this summer. We're all sitting here worried about, you know, what's going to happen just with the midterm elections. You know, not to be coarse, I don't care. Skeletor herself, Nancy Pelosi, can be reelected back in her same position, or some other stooge from the right can take that position. I think we're too far along this path to wind back the clocks. And do you really trust these Republicans? Half of them are rhinos. We know for a fact 14 of them are Republican in name only, vote Democrat every chance a bill comes up. That's your legislator. Those are the ones who make law, Congress, not you, Supreme Court. Even though the Supreme Court has now been decided upon by half of the aisle in the Capitol building as null and void. They don't exist. They're traitors. They're extremists. I'm willing to bet that if we went back to the 1700s and you had members of Congress speaking to some of the high lords that were called judges back then, that they would be drug out into the street and flogged, probably by their own constituents. Back in the day, there were just certain things you didn't say to certain people for fear of getting yourself in physical harm. Where's that fear now? There used to be a fear of God. Did you know that there was actual laws on the books that you could not take the Lord's name in vain? Did you know that there used to be laws on the books that you dare not show up in church without your musket? One of the things that I pride myself upon is the ability to teach people. I've always had a very unique ability with teaching people. And I love to teach active shooter awareness to people, to the extent that I'm having an active shooter awareness and reaction course in September. ReadyMadeResources.com, $650 if you want to go for 3 days of fun in the sun and blood, sweat, and tears. You're going to learn more than you probably ever have in 3 days. However, that mindset for the better half of our nation, three quarters of our nation, probably 80% of our nation, is gone. People don't think about this stuff anymore. People don't think like our ancestors did. Anybody remember the old men? The greatest generation? That was both my grandfathers. And my dad's 81, so, you know, I can look back in time and see these men and how, even now, I fail to compare to them. There's something there that was lost among the generations. And it's because of the ease of technology and the introduction of TV and entertainment, the introduction of the grocery stores, 24/7 on-demand delivery. And because of that, we got complacent. Because of that, we forgot what it meant to fight for everything. Hell, just try to fight to keep your garden growing during this summer. I'm about to have to build a whole new greenhouse and have to rebuy a whole stock of fruits and vegetables because the sun's already killed mine. I can't run water 24/7, so I have to go to plan B. You know, same thing with my animals and many animals. Many farmers and ranchers around the country right now are all faced with the same thing. Our animals are dying because there is scorched earth happening right now. And there's various different conspiracies for that. Right now, I don't care about the conspiracies, even though I give quite a bit of validity to them. But it is what it is. We have to deal with this. But half of America doesn't even know how to begin to germinate the seeds to feed themselves. I probably couldn't walk into most high schools and ask kids, can you show me how to skin a rabbit or a squirrel? How to process a deer or a cow? How to process just a fish? Hell, half the kids probably don't even like the fish because it interrupts their Xbox time. And the same thing goes for grown men now who sit on their asses with a controller in their hand, dazed, lost and confused, in imagination land, playing Fortnite and Call of Duty and Modern Warfare and all this other really, you know, cool, entertaining stuff. But men, you were supposed to be outside getting blisters on your hands and building up those calluses. I remember growing up, right now, we would be cutting down trees, preparing for, not this winter, the next winter. Right now, I would be cutting down last year's trees and taking them and cutting them apart for firewood. Now, I'm sure this has changed with a lot of people that are under the age of, you know, 25. But when I was a little boy, I mean, they had the Atari box. They had a Sega Genesis, if you were rich, a Nintendo. I think they had just came out with the Game Boy that never worked. You know, I remember having a Nintendo and a Super Nintendo growing up. I never played the damn thing because I was always outside working. You know, I may complain about it in my youth, but I look back at all the times that my dad put me out in the middle of the woods working from sun up to sun down for an entire summer, every summer, and then through the winter. Because it built a little bit of discipline into me. The Marine Corps took that and enhanced it. I used it throughout my professional career in law enforcement, but, you know, sitting back now, I'm getting back into the swing of things that I used to do as a kid, and man, I can barely keep up. You know, they say that there are lost skills that are out there, and I'm telling you what, hard work and determination, self-discipline, that's a lost art in this country. And many of you are going to wake up one morning and rediscover that lost art when your freaking power doesn't turn back on. Many of you, and I'm not downgrading anyone listening to me, I'm talking in general, but many Americans are going to have to learn what it means to walk in the woods and to not make twigs snap as they search for food, as they hunt for game. Things that I was taught, hunting, tracking, trapping animals growing up, I'm almost having to reteach myself now because I haven't had the need. Because I could always just go to the grocery store and pick up whatever I needed, because I always had a fat government check coming in every 2 weeks. Those days are gone for me. But I have the ability now to teach that lost art to my children. Because, think about this, guys. Most of us grown adults listening, you have the opportunity right now, from the time that you grew up to right now, to have learned survival skills, to learn the necessities, how to make fire with your hands, how to build shelters, how to process game, how to garden, how to shoot guns, how to take, how to defend yourself, taking all these, you know, self-defense classes, these survival classes, serving your country, being good with math the long way that we were all taught, not this screwed up way that kids are taught now. Even so, I mean, hell, just writing papers. Half the kids now can't write without speaking in acronyms, and I can't keep up with it. So there's a lost and dying art of manliness out there, of being an American, of being a strong woman, that you should be teaching to the younger generation. Because from 10 years old up, hell, I'll be more generous, from 18 years old and up, if those kids won't listen to us, if they won't retract their minds from the internet, if they won't realize what is right is right and what is wrong, if they don't believe in the judgments in the Bible, the law of the Ten Commandments, if they want to live a fruitless, devoided life outside the realms of God, then it's time to teach it to the younger generation. And we may have just lost an entire generation. That men like this World War II veteran that you listened to fought and died for. 18-year-old kids, 17-year-old kids, some were 16 years old, faking till they make it just to get into the military, to get into the fight. Where is that with our kids now? They'll be the first ones out there at the protest holding the sign of whatever their overlords tell them to protest for the week is. And America quietly slips into the void of complacency. Where is your vendicta? Where is your anger? Where is that righteous indignation within the people of America? We are one of the most warlike nations to have ever risen. And now we know peace. And because now that we know peace, our society that we built, that we struggled for so long, all people, all races, all creeds, all genders, all religions that helped to build this country are suffering the agonizing pain of peace. And because we know peace, because no one wants to fight us, not outside of our boundaries of a country, we have turned inward upon ourselves. We have opened up the sin that our founding fathers said, don't open that box. Keep that box of complacency sealed tight, nailed into the coffin with Adam. But just as we have let go of God, we have let go of ourselves, we've let go of our laws, and now, as a nation, we weep the whirlwind due to the men and women of this country for the past couple of decades who have been inspired by the modern industrial revolution to become more rich, to think for themselves, to enrich themselves upon the backs of others. Capitalism. There are many people who like it, many people who don't. But one thing is damn well true right now. Capitalism will die in this country. It'll be overtaken by communism. And then you'll wish you had that 9-to-5 job. And you'll wish you had those laws back. People are protesting Roe v. Wade. They're protesting their sexual rights. Just wait till you're out there protesting for bread and for watered down soup. These politicians will not suffer the same fate. And they know it. And because they know it, they continue to circumvent our laws. And they continue to enrich themselves with every chance that they get. I want you to listen to some of these things that are happening right now. This is what they're proposing, all right? The requirements from Cory Booker and these other two clowns propose that the Department of Justice license requirement for gun purchases. If you want a gun, you need to pass a written test. You got to have fingerprinting. And you must be of the age of 21. All right, we're going to sound just like Canada. That's going really well for the Canadians, isn't it? Among other requirements, a federal firearms license for everyone who wishes to purchase a single gun. Current laws require that new gun purchases be facilitated through someone who has a license. The change would require every purchaser to also bear a Federal Firearms Licensing Act. Here's a quote. In general, except as provided in subsection D, it shall be unlawful for any individual to purchase or receive a firearm unless the individual has a valid firearms license. For the record, subsection D, says the Attorney General, will not require a FFL for individuals issued by a state that requires the same or greater requirements than federal standards. So to obtain this license, should the bill become law, an individual would have to apply, submitting to all requirements and fee structures. The prerequisites for the issuance listed in Section 2 are to complete a firearm safety training, which will include written exams to demonstrate knowledge of applicable firearms laws on hand, and testing to include firing testing to demonstrate proficiency and accuracy. You know what? Right there off the bat, I really don't have a problem with that. When you go to take your concealed carry license, you're going to have to know that. But instead of penalizing the entire country, why don't you introduce it in grade school? Like it used to be, when kids were taught how to handle guns in school. You even had shooting teams. Some schools still have it, very few. Number two, completed background and criminal history investigations. Submit proof of identity. Submit fingerprints as part of a background. Provide all necessary qualifying information of the intended gun purchase to include make, model, serial number, and the identity of the individual selling the gun. This has nothing to do with gun safety. This has everything to do with gun registration and the eventuality of confiscation. For when they do come for your gun and you don't produce it, they'll have all the information. And they'll say, well, Mr. Smith, where is the gun that it says here that you were allowed to buy 5 years ago? Oh, you sold it to somebody? Do they have an FFL? Is it registered with the state? Did you pay the taxes on it? No? Well, you're going to prison because you violated a federal law. In essence, they want to know who owns what. But wait, it gets better. These licenses will either be approved or denied within 30 days of their submission. And once you obtain the license, you must make your gun purchase within 30 days of the issue date of the license. So if you receive the notification of issuance via mail, you will have less than the prescribed time frame now. That license will be good for only one firearm purchase every 5 years. While the bill is unclear whether you can hold multiple licenses simultaneously, the bill's language arguably allows for only one license, good for only one gun purchase, every 60 months, possibly even longer. Is it possible that this bill, if passed into law, could limit every individual to purchase only one firearm after the law was passed? Ever? Just one? The license requires that a weapon to be purchased within 30 days of the issuance of the license. However, the license is valid for 5 years. Assuming the intent is to allow only one license at a time, that would legislate that law-abiding Americans could purchase only one gun every 5 years. Furthermore, the bill allows the Attorney General to deny a license based on any of the following reasons. History of threats or acts of violence towards self or others. There's your red flaw, the red flag gun laws, right there. History of use, attempted use, or threatened use of physical force by the applicant against another person. Attempted use. So if you said on an online forum that Bobby Sue is going to kick Billy Boy's you-know-what in an online forum, there's your attempted use, there's your threat of use of physical force brought to you by the Department of Homeland Security's Truth Team. Because they will be looking for this. They will be another faction that you will have to jump through their hurdles. That's your social credit score. It's coming for your guns. Next, whether the applicant is the subject of or has violated a domestic violence or stalking restraining order or protection order. That's kind of already out there. Any prior arrests, pending charge, or conviction for a violent or serious crime or disorderly person's offense, stalking offense, or domestic violent offense. So that's beyond a felony. There's a difference when they say violent or serious crime or disorderly person. A disorderly person is like what I dealt with when I had a retired Army, I think he was a Sergeant Major, who had to come into the Social Security office in Fort Worth to get the receipt of death for his 5-year-old son who had died. And because it was COVID, the federal employee said no, they weren't doing it right now, and he needed to go back online and he needed to apply for it. But as we all know, especially in my knowledge, that does not work. That entire process is flawed from the beginning to the end. And we almost had to drag that poor man out of there. He was so upset. And we were upset for him. And don't think that we didn't go in there and chew the ass of some manager for a Social Security office. Because these people are not empathetic to you at all. All right, next. Any prior arrest, pending charge, or conviction of an offense involving cruelty to animals. Is hunting a deer going to be considered cruelty to an animal? Depends. History of drug or alcohol abuse or involvement in drug trafficking. Okay, well, what if you had a history of that, but you didn't have a charge for it? Are you still going to be told that you can't have a firearms license now? Possibly. Any recent acquisition of firearms, ammunition, or other deadly weapons. So if you had recently, I hope you caught this, if you had recently purchased, lawfully, another firearm, ammunition, or other deadly weapons. You will have to have a license to buy ammunition. You will have to have a license, potentially, to buy a knife or an axe. Or what, a bow and arrow? A freaking spear? They sell medieval tools over at the Walmart. Am I going to have an FFL license just to go and buy one of those? How about this? Involvement in firearms trafficking or unlawful firearms transfers. There you go. Firearms trafficking or unlawful firearms transfers. If you sold a firearm to a person who didn't have the firearms license, like your grandson or your mom or your dad or your cousin, hey, there's been a creepy guy stalking you. Here's a pistol. Defend yourself. Trafficking of firearms. And it's also an unlawful firearms transfer. Probably be a felony. history of unsafe storage or handling of firearms. Here in my home and my secured office, I proudly have the weapons of my warfare displayed. I love my guns. I love the freedom that will potentially come from the barrels of my guns. The freedom to either feed myself and my family or to defend myself and my family. But if it's not locked up in a government-approved safe, which, by the way, that safe, you will have the code displayed for the ATF. That's part of the law. Then you will be illegal in their eyes, breaking the law. If you've made a recent purchase of gun or ammo or other deadly weapon, you can and probably will be denied additional license depending on how they clarify the recent and deadly weapon. A car is a very deadly weapon. A plane is a very deadly weapon. Does anyone else remember 9/11? Or have we forgotten that already? If you recently bought a bow for deer hunting, is that considered to be a deadly weapon? Would it preclude you from obtaining a firearms license? Did you also note that a history of alcohol abuse could be a disqualifier? Hello, veterans. They're speaking about us. Be careful posting the photo of you receiving your 10-year sobriety chip from AA. They may take your right to purchase a gun away from you. Remember when it was mentioned that this could potentially limit your ability to only buying one gun for the rest of your life? The bill states, quote, "The Attorney General shall establish procedures for a renewal of a license that requires the applicant satisfies the requirements described in paragraph section 2. So as long as you can stay compliant with the government, you would be able to renew your license. It isn't a new license. It is the original. The bill articulates clearly that a license may only be used to obtain one firearm. Renewing it would still be attached to that original purchase. One license, one firearm. Through the ambiguity, words are hard, of this bill's language, Cory Booker and his cohorts, his conspirators, have chiseled out a way to mandate that gun owners are able to legally purchase one gun ever, no more. Sadly, we aren't done with this overreach. This bill would provide a weaponized and politicized attorney general. That's what we see right now with this attorney general, is it not? Here's a breakdown. If at any time during the 5-year life cycle of the license, the Attorney General can revoke that license if they determine that the holder is a threat to themselves or others by possessing, purchasing, or receiving a firearm, or if through regular background checks, they would be in violation of Section 922 of Title 18 of the U.S. Code. In other words, they aren't looking into your past for obtaining the license. They will continue to run their random checks, digging into your privacy without your knowledge. Should your license be revoked, the bill stipulates that the Attorney General shall remove your firearms. Not just the one that you purchased with the license, all of them. Quote, "The Attorney General shall establish procedures to ensure that any firearm is removed from an individual when the individual's license is revoked under this paragraph." Guess what? You only get those weapons back if your license is reinstated during a hearing. If it isn't, they are forfeited. What the bill doesn't answer is what happens if you do not renew your license. Does gun ownership require the license or only buying and selling? Do you lose your guns if the license is revoked? Does the same happen if it simply expires? Cory Booker's bill also creates a record-keeping process. A record-keeping process for your guns. So if Joe sells Mike a 9mm, they have 3 days to notify the Attorney General of that sale. They must provide their information to include their identifying details as well as the pistol being bought or sold. Both Joe and Mike had to have a valid FFL license to make the transaction lawful. So given the previous provisions, this would be Mike's first and only purchase with his license. It would also leave Joe, assuming it was his only weapon, without a gun until he was able to obtain another license. As he used up the allowable number of purchases, which is one under his FFL license. Incidentally, the requirement to notify the Attorney General should already have been accommodated when the license was applied for by Mike, as he identified the gun and the seller with all identifying information. One other aspect that this bill does not cover is the cost associated with the license. Assuming that they intended to use the existing price structure, it would have been revamped at this point, but the current license ranging between $150 and $3,000, but are only valid for 3 years. The cost associated with the 5-year license is most likely very, very high. Thousands of dollars. While it is unlikely that this bill would ever get the required number of votes in the Senate to pass, it is important to know exactly how far Democrats are willing to go to dictate gun ownership limitations on Americans, as they completely ignore the fact that the Constitution they swore to uphold and defend already dictates to them that those very limitations shall not be infringed upon. Please share this information before I say anything stupid. My name's Doug Thornton. I'm going to keep my thoughts and opinions to myself. You probably know them already. You've been listening to American Vindicta. Train, prep, pray. The enemy is out there. Stay frosty. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.